Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome back, cowboys and cowgirls, to the next episode of Ingles and Ian, a Cowboys Right for Free podcast. And as always, the man, the myth, the legend, your friend and mine, Ian. How you doing today, buddy?
I'm good, man. Happy to be back. Took a little bit of a week off. I kind of intended to, because I went to a camp from like Monday to Wednesday. Then I went to San Antonio Friday through Sunday. So
you going to camp, showing off your arm, those QB skills?
Oh yeah, yeah. Something like that. Well, there wasn't a football there. Bummer. It was like a senior leader camp. So I was helping like mentor kids and stuff.
Nice, nice.
So that was cool.
Yeah, I was actually in Oklahoma, Texas last weekend myself. Went to the PGA Championship on Thursday in Tulsa. It was fantastic. It was hot and humid, as Tulsa gets this time of year, but I had a good time. Went and played Lakeside with my little brother. He shot really well. I did not, but such is life.
That's all golf goes, man. You do not know.
I hurt my knee, then I hurt my back and everything else. I just haven't had a chance to like really be consistent at actually practicing. Like when I can hit balls once a week, I can generally shoot mid 90s, which is a far cry from what it used to be, but that's where I'm at this point in my life. But you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, I what's weird though, is when I was young, I could never get off the tee well. But now I'm getting off the tee great and I can't hit my irons, you know, to save my life. So who knows?
Yeah. I just can't hit worth a flip. I'll have some good shots here and there. I can't do it consistently.
That's the name of the game. Mm-hmm. But anyway, we're here to talk about Oklahoma State sports. Unlike the last podcast when Robert was on and we just went off to like all these little bunny trails going all over the place. The Cowgirls golf ended up their season. They didn't make the cut for match play, which is sad, but you know what? All things considered, losing your top two golfers, just a heck of a year for those women. I'm really excited for them and hopefully they can continue and grow and, you know, be more part of this program and eventually make it onto the tour. And, you know, if they want to make it on the tour, I should say, and keep pursuing this game of golf. But shout out to them. They did a great job. I mean, you lose the top two golfers on your team and you still win the regional. That's pretty huge. So I think that's a big feather in their cap and should be a big springboard going forward.
Yeah, I definitely agree. It's going to be, props to them for going as far as they did. But, you know, when you lose your top two golfers, it is what it is at that point.
Yeah, for sure. That's just tough. And hopefully we can pull in some more girls and don't lose anybody. But I think the big thing is we got going on right now is softball, because the men have decided to screw up their national seed and lose seven or the last nine or something like that. And so, but I mean, the women are on the super regionals against Clemson, and that is going to be a series. But first, I mean, they went 12-0 against Fordham, 7-4 against Nebraska, and 2-0 against UNT. That's 21-4 over three games, and they shut out two different teams. That's just impressive.
Yeah, especially with Nebraska. They won like the Big 12 or Big 10 tournament.
Mm-hmm.
So beating them 7-4 was big. Fordham didn't really put up much of a fight. North Texas, I was pretty impressed with. They, it took a bit for OSU to get some runs in. So North Texas put up a fight. One of their outfielders had like a little bit of fun with the fans. So that was really nice. So not really like a rivalry, but it's, you know, it's another local team, and it's always nice for them to come through and survive in advance.
I actually heard something on the radio, ESPN Radio, which I listen to all the time. It's basically the only thing that's on in my car. They had a reporter from ESPN talking about softball, and they're talking about the pitcher for OSU, like how hard it is to grind, because most softball pitchers aren't used to grinding that deep into a game against UNT, and how she just made pitch after pitch after pitch after pitch. And it was like one of the most impressive things she had seen in a long time, about how she never missed. And so, you know, I think they're primed. I know me and Robert talked about this a bit last week, but I honestly think it's going to come down to Bedlam for the national title. Odds are OU will beat us, which sucks, but you get it in a two-game series, winner take all. Someone gets hot, you never know, right? But it is definitely, I feel like they're peaking at the right time. They got slapped down at the end of the year with Florida State and OU, but they rallied back when, because it would have been easy for them to just like, whatever, punt and take a regional and go into the postseason with the Big 12 tournament. They rallied, beat OU. I think this team might be something special.
I was thinking about that. You know, like they have a bunch of momentum right now, but it's one of those things where in softball, anything can happen. A big opportunity has opened up for Oklahoma State with Florida State losing, because that's who they probably would have faced. Beating Clemson going to the World Series, that would have been their first game. So now you're taking on either an unseeded Arizona or Mississippi State.
Mm-hmm.
Should you win the series against Clemson, that's pretty big going into what this Women's College World Series is. I'm hesitant to say that they are going to go to the national championship, because you never know. Virginia Tech's a really solid team.
Obviously, I mean,
Arkansas's in there. UCLA is always a powerhouse. And Duke, I think Duke beat Oklahoma State in Arizona.
That was in like the first weekend of the season. So, like this team, besides the last week of the season where they played Florida State and OU, like the majority of their losses came in the first like 10 days of the season. And so if they go up against Duke again, which we did lose to, it's going to be a much different team. It's like playing a team in August versus December in football. I mean, it's just a very different dynamic, right?
Yeah. I mean, man, it was going to be tough regardless. And you see what teams are left. I mean, well, heck. Beating Clemson, there's like bracket one and bracket two, right? You open up, OSU is going to open up in bracket two, and it's going to be the winner of Virginia Tech and Florida, so a national seed, Stanford and Oregon State, who both beat Tennessee and Alabama to win their regionals. And then you have Mississippi State and Arizona, who beat Florida State in 15. So there's only going to be one other national seed in your like bracket deal, where there's going to be a guaranteed three national seeds in the other bracket. So, I mean, there's a lot of good series this week. Can I talk about this for a sec? I know that Oklahoma State calls himself America's Brightest Orange. but I think Clemson's is technically brighter. When you look at it, they got a brighter orange.
As someone who lives in Clemson territory, I live less than 100 miles from the university right now. At least the apparel, ours is much brighter. Maybe it's the juxtaposition of the purple and the orange that kind of dulls it, but just seeing it, I can see the difference that it's darker than our orange. In terms of,
I think just from like looking at the logos.
Looking at the logos, yeah, but I'm just telling you from apparel that I see every day, it's not like, and I got a fresh dose of OSU apparel, you know, this last week. It's a different color orange.
Let me take a look at this real quick. Okay.
And Ian's going off book.
Let's talk baseball real quick. I mean,
I feel like
their death has been over exaggerated slightly.
I just don't know what happened. They were rolling and going, and you know, everything out, every adjective you can talk about, like good team peaking at the right time, and then poof, they just like crap the bed everywhere. And you know, they were basically a lock for regional and super regional. I think they have to win the Big 12 championship to get a regional at this point. So it's just, baseball is way more finicky than softball is. It's just the nature of the sport. Pitchers can only go every 4 or 5 days versus softball, where they can go every other day or every day. There's a lot there, but it just felt like they were rolling, and all of a sudden it was just like they hit a brick wall. And I just, maybe that's the brick wall they need to hit. Right. They got two in their heads, reading their own press clippings, all the coach speak adjectives, blah, 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 blah. But maybe that's what happened and that's what they needed. And they'll, you know, pick themselves up off the ground and keep going forward. But it was not a good look to lose those many games going in. Granted, they won 2 out of 3 against Baylor to finish the season, but Baylor's not Tech. You know, it's just, they went from 3rd to 13th in 9 days. That's not a good, that is never a good thing to do as a college program, you know, especially when national seeding is on the line.
No, I definitely agree. I think they may have just gotten complacent where like, oh, we're probably, because what I've seen is that they're like in the 13 range. And my bet is that they will not host a super regional, but they will have an opportunity to host a regional. They swept Texas. That's who they play first. There was some weird stat that I found that like they always made like the Big 12 championship game in baseball. I have no idea if that's true. So, I mean, I mean, I think they could turn it around because we've seen madness in the NCAA tournament. So whatever happens at this point. But I'm not a big fan of this ending of the season. Obviously, you want to see them split with Tech and TCU. You had TCU at home. Heck, you had both of them at home, and you went 0-6.
Right, but at this point in the season, home field advantage isn't what it would be a month prior. Most of the students are gone. Sands aren't going to be as rowdy. You know, it's a different kind of environment this time of season. But, I mean,
you're right.
They got the pitching to do it. And if their bats can get hot at the right time, I think they have the bats to do it. It just can both of those sync up at the right time, because if the pitching gets cold, they're done. I mean, that's what's kept them in a lot of it. I mean, even especially that first series against Vanderbilt, they only hit like 190, but they still took 2 out of 3 from one of the best teams in the nation, right? So their pitching is fantastic, and their bats can either hit 120 or 400 depending on the series. And it's very Jekyll and Hyde. So hopefully we get more. Well, I never know which is the good one in that one, Jekyll or Hyde. But
yeah, one or the other. I get what you're saying, though. I mean, yeah, we'll see what they do in the Big 12 tournament, obviously. Now being played in Globe Life Field in Arlington, Texas, which if I'm not mistaken, Oklahoma State has not won a game in Globe Life.
Well, it's only been
three games.
Yeah, the first year was open was the COVID year, and they hosted the World Series because it was sort of a neutral site kind of thing. But I mean, they can't have played more than 3 or 4 games in Globe Life. So,
oh wait, they played BYU in a series there, so they have won 2 games.
Right, I was about to say, it's not like they're playing in Bricktown. They have a terrible record in Bricktown or at Driller Stadium in Tulsa. Mm-hmm. You know, that's it.
Yeah.
So, fun thing for all the fans out there, we are exactly 100 days away from football.
I don't know. I'm not at the point where I'm like ready for football season in a way. Like, I'm enjoying the other sports right now, and I'm not at a point where it's like, oh, I got to have football back in my life, you know? So, I mean, I'm happy it's 100 days away, almost less than 100 now. But at the same time, I just want to enjoy some other sports right now, you know?
But I feel like, you know, really we've got men's golf is they're gearing up for the tournament, which starts, or the regional start on Friday, I think.
Next Friday, yeah.
Which is BS that we're number 2 in the country and have to go to Ohio State where OU's number 1 and they get to host one. So I guess they do their regionals different, but.
Is it the national championship at Carsten Creek, though?
Is it? I don't, if it is, I don't know.
Because, like, if they.
If it is at Carsten Creek, that makes more sense.
Yeah. Let me see.
It is at Greyhawk Golf Club in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Huh.
Okay. No, well, that can't be right. That must be a regional.
No, that's a championship.
Okay, well, then what I must have saw was weird. I guess they've already done that. But anyway, you know, the men.
You say OU was hosting one?
Yeah, what I saw earlier was OU was definitely hosting one.
Does not look like they are hosting one. The hosts are Texas A&M, Florida Atlantic, Yale, Pacific, Alabama, and Ohio State.
Hmm. Must have caught last year's then when I was looking at the earlier day.
And these were determined on January 30th.
Okay.
So I don't. Wait. Full seed for golf. Okay. Wait. Okay, this might have. Wait. Oh, that might have been for the first round. Or maybe I'm tripping. Because I found the thing, the result deal. Inside the regionals were like Stockton, Bryan, Texas, so Texas A&M, Yale, Columbus, Florida Atlantic and Norman. And yeah, these are the six regional sites.
Oh, okay. Then I must have misread the dates, and I thought they were.
Maybe they changed it or something. I'm not sure. Because I bet what they did was like, it was like your closest regional, and obviously they can't put OU and OSU in the same regional. So they put OU in like the second closest one, which would have been Bryan, Texas. So that doesn't. Okay, so that still doesn't make sense. I don't know. Golf's weird.
Golf is weird. But yeah, so, I mean, the next 2 weeks, we're going to be hitting a big dead period, really, for sports, right? Baseball, we wrapped up. Softball, we wrapped up. Golf, we wrapped up.
Yeah.
What are you going to do to get yourself through the summer of no Oklahoma State sports, man?
Well, you may just rewatch the Fiesta Bowl times. You could, I don't know, depending on how the Women's College World Series goes, rewatch that. I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of things to do. You could take a walk outside or something.
For me, I've started, granted it's only 8 episodes, so it'll be done before then, but I started watching Outer Range, Josh Brolin show on Amazon. Really cool. I dig it a bunch. Oh, no, I always hate the dead period.
Yeah, so, dead period is not great. That's when the craving for football comes back. So I might just end up watching like random bowl game highlights.
And that's when we're going to like start like previewing the upcoming season, which will obviously preview the games again. But the long-term outlook of we're going to have nothing to talk about for like 3 months. So
yeah,
hopefully, dear listeners, y'all stay with us. The few of you who are still with us. So you got anything else for us, my friend?
I do not.
Yeah, it's we'll have a lot more to talk about next week. I mean, Big 12 championship in baseball starts this week. We open up against Texas at 9 a.m., which is a terrible draw. But it is what it is when you go from the 1 seed to the 5 seed or 4 seed, whatever happened. Yeah.
Right. I mean, when you also have, 4 games you have to play, somebody was going to get the short end of the stick. So,
yep.
Not much you can do there.
All righty, cowboys and cowgirls. Until next time, you're a good friend of mine. Laters.